All right. We are live. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio from Sam Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. We stream online at cgsf.ca. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, and listen to podcasts of our programs on SoundCloud and our website. Got a request, text or call us at 778-782-CGSF or 2573. This is Hwai Ange Shachlach from the Intlakepmich Territories up in the Nicola Valley from Gwaishkina, BC. And I'm your host here on Free Voices, brought to you by Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. And we have a super awesome show coming up for you. We got a very full house today. We have we have Lady Fahima. We have the president of Minnetkata Park Association, Celia. We have Professor Hamadani, and also we have a special guest, my brother, Baby Eagle. How are you doing, man? So it's a very packed house today. Our subject is going to be on creativity, and we have our special guests coming up as usual. We hopefully will get a hold of our brother, Wegedesk, and... later on, we'll be talking with Mr. Salar, one of our regular guests on our show program. So we're going to start off the show, and we're going to get to a band from the Mongolian tribe. And they got some Mongolian techno, and it's Umet Ozkan, and their song is called Xanadu. So let's have a listen to that. Enjoy, everyone.
Thank you.
All right, we're back, and that was Umet Ozkan and their song called Xanadu, and they were Mongolian people, and they were playing some Mongolian techno. And so we're going to carry on with our show. We weren't able to get a hold of our brother Wegedesk, so we're going to do what he taught us, and we're going to do 3 deep breaths. And it's going to prepare our minds and spirits for this awesome show. And so we're going to do it 3 deep breaths. Just imagine inhaling all the positivity in the world and just the beautiful scenery wherever you are. Just inhale it into your lungs. And on the exhale, just imagine getting rid of all negative thoughts and just negative feelings that you're going through. And so we're going to do 3 deep breaths on 3, 2, 1. Last one. Oh man, so beautiful, getting that oxygen into our lungs and into our brains and getting us all ready for an awesome show. Our subject is on creativity, and we have our special guest here with us, Professor Hamadani. And we'd love to get some feedback on her, on how she stays creative in her wonderful work as a linguist.
Well, actually, as a literature specialist.
Okay.
So I'm the head of a department called World Languages and Literatures. And what's really interesting about the word world is you can kind of think about it in terms like geographically, so the entire globe. But when you look at the writings of philosophers and scholars throughout the ages, what you find is that world has a different dimension to it. So I'll give you an example. The philosopher Martin Heidegger, when he talks about world, he says, the world is always a world-making activity. So anytime you're talking about the world, you're actually talking about the humans that are creating it. And so if we take that definition of the world, what it means for us, in world languages and literatures, is that we're talking about a world that's created and sometimes destroyed through language and literature. So in that sense, world languages and literatures become a kind of treasure trove of wisdom throughout the ages,
mm-hmm.
and a reflection of different realities, and perhaps most importantly, the courage and ability to imagine a different world.
Mm-hmm.
And this imagination and creativity really go hand in hand. So one of the things, for example, that we tell our students is that imagination is really key to problem solving.
Mm.
So come study with us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I always tell my students, if you want to enjoy reading a book, imagine it. You are the creator. You are the director.
Mm-hmm.
The words on the page are a suggestion. The other really beautiful thing about works of art in general, and, you know, that includes literature, that includes any of the arts, is that they're a kind of love letter to the people who behold them.
And I love that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the way that that love manifests is through ambiguity. So a work of art will not come and tell you this is what is truth, this is what, you know. There's always these nuggets of ambiguity. And what that means is this tremendous trust and love that basically every work of art is an invitation to the viewer to come and co-create its meaning. Mm-hmm. Which is really why works of art survive through the ages, because they're constantly being recreated and reinterpreted as they are being perceived throughout times. It also means that every time a book is read, through its interpretation, it is co-created.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though our students, you know, learn how to put together an argument and to write a paper, they're essentially co-creators. And what that means is that you are constantly translating the wisdom of the past for your present. And you're in dialogue with it. So there is a dimension to creativity, which is also quite analytical. And in the process, this is another thing I always tell my students, which is that my hope and goal for them is while they're interpreting these texts, that in the process, they will find themselves. They will discover themselves. Because so much of our self is tied to the way we interpret the world. Mm. And, you know, to point to another philosopher, Friedrich Nietzsche, you know, he says that, you know, the highest station we can attain as individuals is the ability to constantly overthrow ourselves and recreate ourselves.
Right.
So the self and one's life is actually the utmost creative project of one's life.
Very beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's so interesting. It's so in tune with the way that I grew up as just learning all the different languages from my great-grandparents and my grandparents, and listening to the oral traditions and oral history, the way that it was given down to the next generations, which I myself is one of them, and just listening from all the perspectives of my old uncles, and they would all tell the same stories, and almost none of them were the same. They were always a variation, different. One would remember other things, and the other one would remember the other parts. And but they were all the same story, but they were always told in a different way. And there were perspectives that really did. I remember speaking with some of my brothers and other older cousins that talked about learning from our uncles, because they all had different, their own perspectives and things that they would bring to the table from their own history that they've gone through and experiences that they've gone through and shared it in that viewpoint. And those would make lasting impressions from each of our uncles that would stick in in some of us, and then we're able to like share with each other and those around us and the next generations. And I just find it very fascinating and awesome that you're able to come here and join us and share with us some of your knowledge and your expertise, and it's just so wonderful.
And, beautiful.
I just can't wait to bring you in some more and learn some more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, there's this famous fable by Rumi, and it describes a bunch of people in the dark who are touching different parts of an elephant.
Mm.
And each one of them is tasked to describe what, you know, to kind of try to guess what it is that they're touching. And the wisdom of the story is what you point to, which is perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So each one of the people, what they describe is true for what they're touching, for what they're experiencing. But they don't see the bigger picture.
Mm. Yes.
Right?
Mm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so going back to Nietzsche, so Nietzsche is my crush. I think about, you know, I think about reading as developing crushes on minds. And sometimes it's like a quick affair. And other times it's, you know, and Nietzsche is the one who's kept my attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he has many flaws, but I would love to go on a date with him and just sit.
His soulmate.
Just sit and talk. But anyway, so one of the things he said was that the closest we can come to the notion of objectivity is having as many different perspectives around something as possible.
Mm-hmm. Very, very wise.
And he's not someone who really believes in objectivity to begin with. So he says that really all we have is our subjective experience. And that subjective experience is actually an artistic experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to carry on with our show, and we're going to get to one of our next guests that introduced me to Dr. Akvan, the international lawyer, and you have very close ties with him too. So Mr. Salar, he's the very close friend of Counselor Fari, who is in the other world now. But this Mr. Salar, he's the one that introduced me and got us connected, and it's just an awesome time. So we're going to play a song for him, and then we'll get to him and talk with him. And we're going to play some Stray Tones, and their song is called Fire Fire.
Wow.
And let's let's listen to that, and we'll get to Mr. Salar.
Beautiful.
So enjoy, everyone out there, and thank you for coming from all over the world. And let's listen to this song and carry on with the show.
Thank you. Really beautiful.
Thank you.
All right, we're back. We played a super epic song for a super epic person, and we have Mr. Salar on the line with us. How are you doing, Mr. Salar?
Oh, Chief, I am very well, especially now that I'm talking to you, all those wonderful people in studio, and wonderful souls who are lucky to listen to your program. Very good. Everything is just perfect.
Yeah, I was just introducing you as a person that was very close with Counselor Fari, and you were the first person that introduced me to Dr. Akfan, and he has a connection with our Professor Hamadani here. And so the yes. connection keeps going round and round, and it gets better and better. Yeah. And it's just so awesome to have you come and join us on our program here now. And we have our subject today is on creativity. And but first, I'd like to ask you if you would like to ask any questions of Professor Hamadani. And do you know each other?
Actually, through the line, through the internet, and from wonderful things that I am hearing from other people. Unfortunately, I didn't see him in person yet, but I hope that in the near future, that will happen.
Mm. It would be my pleasure.
Yeah, so we'd like to get your perspective on creativity. How do you see that?
Yes, actually, it's a fantastic topic, especially when I can talk about how I came to this wonderful way of thinking. It goes back to my school days. We had, when I was in the gymnasium, then we had some drawing classes, and in these drawing classes, the teacher told us, unless the other teacher, that I need to have a garage door, but nothing usual. I want you to sit and think about it. How you can create a garage door and sell it to me, which is functional but different than anything I saw before. And that was when me, including other people, we began to think and be creative what to do. It stayed with me all the time. And then again, I learned from another teacher in the society that told me, whatever you want to do, have a plan, have the experiences for other people together. This is but only 40% of the work. And the 60% is your imagination to find and be creative, to find other ways how you can do these things the better way, more successful, more useful. So it was injected into my mind that whatever I want to do, I automatically I have to think and be creative to find other way. At least to try to see if I can find other way to do it. And then some wonderful soul told me that there was a test, psychological test, that where people, also this expert, they asked the people in the MIT how they can put an elephant in the fridge. Of course, nobody could answer. And this answer was